Testing. Can you guys hear me all right?
Awesome.
Well, I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming today, especially for some of those that might be their first time in church, just my boys, basketball boys, friends. Thank you all so much for coming. We're going to start off by today by opening up the Word of God together. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 6, we're going to be reading from verse 25. And if you don't have your Bibles here today, it's going to be up on the overhead, so you can read it from there. You may think this is a pillow, but this is actually some verses that are a very kind friend of mine gave me for Christmas, and it shows just how much I love this verse. So I'm going to read from Matthew 6, and this is Matthew when he's given the Sermon on the Mount, giving one of his first big sermons. So Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the second bit of scripture we're going to be reading from is from John 15. So if you want to turn to John, and just read from verse 1. And this is Jesus when he's speaking to the disciples, and he says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just invite you into this room, into this place here today, and I just thank you for the opportunity that I can come and stand here and be a vessel for you. So I pray you'll speak for me, and I pray that the ears will be open, eyes will be open, hearts will be open, and I pray that you'll just be able to speak into each and every one of us today what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to get to these verses a little bit later on, but first I kind of want to tell the testimony and the story of how I came to actually understand these verses. So growing up, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know who Jesus was growing up. I had small little bits of knowing about Christianity, you know, saying grace with my grandparents down in Cromwell, and I think I even went to church a couple times with them. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and it wasn't until year 9 and 10 where I met Nick and Jono at Akashman. Nick was in my form class, and I became pretty good mates with them. And in year 10, they invited me along to Easter camp. And so I went up to Hamner to this Easter camp, and that was the first time that I ever heard the gospel preached to me, ever in my life. And I realized that I'd broken God's law. You know, I'd lied, I looked with lust, blasphemed, had idols, not honored my mum and dad. And I realized the way I was going to hell. Because I was a guilty sinner and I'd broken God's law. But I realized that I was in need of a savior. And I learned about Easter and what it truly meant. And learned that all I need to do was just repent and put my trust in him, and I'll be saved. And so I gave my life to the Lord on that Easter about 5 years ago. And I started going to church, and one of the most significant moments early in my faith was when I got baptized that same year. And I was able to see both my parents stand and show their support for me, and I just thank them so much for that and want to give God all the glory for that. And even though I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I just want to honor my dad and my stepmom and my mum and my stepdad for the way they raised me and the support that they showed me, you know, when I became a Christian. And just how accepting and supportive they were of me, it was just amazing, because I was so lucky to have that. Because a lot of people, you know, when they become a Christian and they're a non-Christian home, they don't have that support. So I just want to honour my mum and dad for everything they've done for me then. So I gave my life to the Lord 5 years ago and started coming to church every Sunday. And one of the things really early on that helped grow, make my seed grow, my roots grow deep, was Bible study before church on Sundays with Andy and Meg. And I want to honour them so much for that, because without that, my roots wouldn't have grown deep. And one of the things that stuck with me as well really early on was this phrase, what would Jesus do? And, you know, Jono actually got me a lanyard for my birthday back in year 10 with this WWJD, and it stuck with me really on. Obviously, there's been times throughout my life where I haven't, you know, followed that as much as I should have, but it stuck with me, and it helped me make a lot of decisions early on about things that I was doing in my life, like, you know, doing Jesus Club at Kashmir, and, you know, doing these kids programs and these kids camps. And so it was one of the things that stuck with me. So throughout high school, I was growing in my faith a lot, but, you know, I started to fall into a pattern of sin, and it wasn't just falling into it. I started to actually dive into it a lot, and you know there was seasons where I thought I was bouncing out of it, but I eventually was in this place where I was just diving into all this sin, and I was feeling so guilty about it that I wasn't even talking to God. Like I would go to repent and try to ask for His forgiveness, but I would stop myself and say, Cam, what are you doing? Like, why are you trying to repent when you know you're just going to do these things tomorrow or the next hour? And so I was so ashamed, and I couldn't even bring my voice to even talk to Him. And at this time, you know, I was seeking joy in other things. You know, I've been playing basketball since I was six. I loved it so much. You know, throughout high school, I had trainings, you know, four or five times a week. I started coaching in the last year of high school as well. You know, ever since about I was 12 years old, Saturdays was completely just basketball. Eventually, Sunday afternoons, I was having trainings down at Kashmir as well. And it came to the point at the end of year 13 where I needed to decide what I was going to do after high school. And ever since year 9, I remember doing this test in our first couple of weeks of school, and it was a test about, you know, what degree you'd go do. And I did the test, and sport coaching was one of the ones that popped up at University of Canterbury. So since year 9, that is what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to University of Canterbury, study sport coaching, become a basketball coach, be a PE teacher, and that was it. And so at the end of year 13, I didn't even ask if that was God's will. I didn't even ask Him. So of course it wasn't going to go well. So I went off to university last year and moved into the halls. But I thought everything was going great, but I was still just in this pit. And that's the reason why I call it a pit, because that's what it was. I felt like I couldn't get out of it. I was just diving into so much sin. I even went back to Kashmir to coach at my old high school. And so Monday nights was 4 hours of basketball training. Tuesday nights was basketball games coaching. Thursday nights, another 4 hours of training and playing and coaching. Friday nights, there was 5 hours of me riffing down at school. I would even stay late some nights, you know, let the boys shoot around for another 2 hours. Saturdays, two games and coaching. And then Sunday afternoons, I was training and coaching as well. So, and I still had to find time to, you know, go to church, Bible study, kids camps, kids programs on Wednesday nights. Still had to find time to, you know, living at halls, to go back home and have dinner with my parents, and I was going back home maybe once a month. I regret it so much. I should have gone back so much more to spend more time with them, you know. I was in such a bad place where, you know, I wasn't sleeping well, I was eating horrible food, I was just death scrolling on my phone every single night, an hour and a half before I went to bed. You know, I wasn't honouring myself, I wasn't looking after myself physically, mentally, I wasn't honouring the people around me. Like, even though I was still going to church on Sunday, I was still going to Bible study on Monday night, still doing kids programs on Wednesday night, I was still talking to my friends about Jesus and preaching to them, I was still praying for people, asking for people to get healed. But when it was just me, alone in my room, I wasn't alone, was I? Because God was there, and I wasn't talking to Him. I was too guilty and too ashamed. I felt like such a hypocrite. You know, just like in Matthew 23, Jesus talking about the Pharisees, I was a cup clean on the outside, but on the inside I was dirty. But to some, my close Christian, non-Christian friends, they knew what was going on. You know, they knew I wasn't going to my lectures. They knew I wasn't doing those things. So I was dirty on the inside and outside to them. And I was just being a horrible winner. So I wasn't honoring myself. I wasn't honoring others. And I wasn't honoring God. And I knew I needed to get out of this place. And it was around this time, about August last year, where I first heard this verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And honestly, it actually made me even feel guiltier, because I knew I wasn't doing it, but it was in my mind. I knew I needed to get to that point of doing it. And it was around the same time that there was a vision school night. And for those who don't know what vision school is, it's a missionary training program to disciple people to go out and preach the gospel to all nations. And this that night last year, in August I think it was the first time I ever heard the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, where he says to the disciples, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations. Not stay and make disciples, but actually go out. And so that was in there now in my mind. I knew I had to do that. And so I signed up for Vision School because I heard these testimonies about people going to Vision School and their minds changed. So I knew it was something I wanted to do. And there was someone from church that actually said that they were going to pay for my Vision School if I could memorize these 15 verses. That was such a blessing. And one of these verses was John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. So I had all these things up here. I knew I need to be seeking him first. I knew I need to go out and make disciples. I knew I need to abide in him. But I was just still in this pit where I wasn't talking to God. I wasn't honoring myself. I wasn't honoring others. And I wasn't honoring him. And it was coming up to October last year. And it was the fourth year of us doing these kids camps that we do. And I knew that I needed to go. But I felt so guilty. How could I go and minister to these kids when I've just got all this stuff in my own life that I'm dealing with? You know, I can't even talk to God. And I wasn't even praying to him. There was no relationship there. It was just going one way. So I was feeling so guilty, and I was trying to find excuses on why I couldn't go. But, you know, Sandra was going, Nick was going, Luke was going. And I thought, what would Jesus do? Jesus would go. So I went. And I went to this. We went to this camp to minister to these kids, and I was away from my phone. I was away from my bad sleeping routines, bad eating routines. I was away from basketball. And I was completely immersed and dependent on the Lord. I had to be. How could I not be if I'm going to minister to these kids and show them God's love? So the relationship with God just completely opened up again. The fire in my heart completely relit because I was able to show the love that God had for me. That first love that I felt 5 years ago when I gave my life to the Lord, I knew that love that I felt back then wasn't of this world. It was from him. I felt that same love again. And so I completely opened up again. And the camp was amazing. Like, you can probably remember the testimonies from last year when that camp happened. And then after that camp, on that Saturday night when camp finished, that was the first night of Vision School, this missionaries program. And so I was sitting down there pretty tired from the kids' camp, and I heard it again. Matthew 28. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations. And before I heard it, you know, it was just in my mind, but my heart wasn't in the right place. And I had this fresh revelation in my faith, and my heart was in the right place now, and I was fully able to understand it. And it went from here to here in my heart. I fully just wanted to do his will, to actually seek him first, to abide in him, and to go out and make disciples. And I give God all the glory to revealing that to me and getting my mindset in the right place. And about 3 months later, in January this year, Sandra, Tony, Nick and I were driving back from Queenstown. It was a Sunday. So we were doing car church. And then so Tony asked us to give me and Nick a 5-minute sermon. And I was thinking, okay, well, what could I talk about? Thinking about one of these memory verses, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Now, when I had that revelation in my faith after that camp and after that Vision School, that was the first time in 2 years that I actually had a conversation with God about the things in my life. That was the first time in 2 years where I actually repented for all these sins I'd been doing over the last 2 years. And I just completely opened up to again. You know, I actually read my Bible every morning for the first time my whole life. Like, you know, it was my third year being a Christian. I was reading the Bible for the first time. And so I just give so much God all the glory for that. But when I gave the sermon in that car on the way back, I was talking about, you know, if we're going to read God's word and have it abide in us, we can't just be reading it in the morning and then forgetting about it at night, because is it actually abiding in us if we're just reading it and then forgetting about it? And I thought to my own life, you're not doing that, Cam. You know, even though you're reading the Bible now every morning, it's not abiding in you. You can't remember what you read that morning. And so this is when I first actually think I understood what these verses actually meant. So I've got this illustration to go along with it. Right, and so Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So these containers here, these represent our lives, okay? And this is the capacity of things in our life. Now, this sand in here, this is the stuff we worry about. This is the stuff we stress about. You know, I'm not saying this isn't important things. It's important, but it's the stuff we worry and stress about. You know, it could be our jobs, future jobs, where we're going to go to university, college, You know, our families, our kids, what's going on in their life, our schoolwork. It's the stuff we stress and worry about. And if we put that stuff first, and then we say, hey, I want to go after God now. You know, we want to have that relationship with him. So we put that there. And then we also say, oh, you know, I want to be reading my Bible every day. We put that in there. And then we say, oh, I want to, maybe tithing's a thing. Oh, a little bit in there. And then we also say, oh, I want to go out and make disciples of all nations. But eventually, as we can see, we can't do it all. There's not enough room. But what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, but seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Not just seek it, but seek it first. So we make it a priority now. So we say, okay, I'm gonna go after God. I'm going to have a relationship with him. For you today, that might be actually making that decision. It might be getting baptized today. That might be you seeking him first. And okay, I want to wake up and be a person of prayer. I'm going to wake up every morning now and pray for an hour. Pray for half an hour. Pray for 2 hours. That's the way I'm going to seek God first. And then we say, I want to maybe serve more. I'm not serving at church. That's the way I can serve. There's room for that now. And then we also say, I want to have room now to go out and make disciples. Maybe that might look like coming out with us on Saturday, 10:30, Bridge of Remembrance, to do street evangelism. Or it might be, you know, just going to your next door neighbor. But it says go out, not stay. So I'll do that now. And what he says is if we prioritize the right things and we build our life on him, you know, there's no secret why I'm using rocks and sand here today, is the kids' song we heard. And what Jesus says is, hey, let's get the order right. And he's going to take care of the rest. And what we'll see is that let's get the order right, a little bit of time, praying about it, waiting on him, is actually enough room for it all. And here's the principle. Priority determines capacity. What we choose to prioritize in our life, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, because what's his kingdom? His kingdom is inside us. So prioritizing him in our lives and his righteousness, what would Jesus do? Doing things that Christ wants us to do. If we choose to put that first, he says, hey, I'm going to take care of the rest. I got you, man. It's going to be okay. And then he says in John 15, he tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So, I brought a branch. Now, all of us in this room, you know, we could probably work pretty hard to try and make this branch bear fruit. You know, we could sellotape an apple onto it, but it's not exactly what it is. He tells us in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. And this word abide, it comes up about 7 times in this passage. So what does abiding actually mean? Well, did a little bit of research about trying to figure out what it was. You know, Oxford Dictionary, you know, some pretty good source maybe, says act in accordance with a rule or commandment. But, you know, that's Oxford Dictionary, you know, man-made stuff. But some translation in the Hebrew and Greek, to remain, to stay, or to dwell. To dwell, dwelling. To make his commandments our home. And if we're to abide in Jesus and have his commandments abide in us, we're to make his commandments, what he tells us to do, our home. And it's not just a holiday home that we might go to on Easter or Christmas, these holidays. It's not just a place that we're feeling down, we need something, we go around to the next door neighbor's house and ask for something. No, we're to make him and his commandments our home. So if we're to abide in Jesus and to abide his commandments, we're to make his commandments our home. And it says in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's all it is. We just have to stay connected to the vine, otherwise nothing's going to happen. You know, we could chuck this branch down there and you know, we could go, come on, branch, you can do it, but nothing's going to happen. It has to abide in the vine. We have to abide in Jesus, otherwise we are going to have no fruit. And it's a guarantee he gives us, just like in 6:33, it's a guarantee that if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, all the stuff that we worry about will be added to us. And he tells us in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. And this is what I realized. You know, once I actually started to seek him first and actually abide in him, what did my desires become? They became his. And what are his desires? His desires is for his will to be done in our lives and for people to know him, for the gospel to be preached in all nations. And I give God all the glory for just being able to reveal what these verses actually meant in my life. And so I began to actually just study the Bible. I'd wake up every day, read a little bit, and write some notes, listen to a podcast. And when I started to do this, I started reading Matthew, because this was the first bit of scripture I've read. And I finished it yesterday. And there's no secret the timing of that. The last thing I read, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. And the testimony since God was able to reveal this in my life and work in my life is, you know, last year when I was in that pit, it was around June, you know, I hadn't stopped going to my lectures, and I knew I wasn't going to do university next year. And so I applied for Camp America, because it's something I'd been thinking about when I was younger, but because of things that went out of my mind. But so I applied for it. And I was talking to God, and I said to him, you know, dear Lord, I pray that I'll just be able to go to Camp America and be a basketball coach at a Christian camp. So I was giving God this much room to work with. But once I had this fresh revelation and realized I just need to seek his kingdom first and abide in him, my prayers changed to, Lord, if it's your will for me to go, send me. If it's your will for me to go, give me the right amount of money that I need. Nothing more, just what I need, and send me. And if it's not your will, keep me here. And I give all glory to God for just helping me be at peace with that. And it truly was. I was at this point 2 months ago where I was at peace that if it wasn't his will for me to go, I was okay with that. And over the last couple of months, there's been times where I'd start feeling a little bit strange. And there was even one Friday I remember I was home by myself and I was just in the kitchen and I burst into tears. And I had no idea why. I was so confused why I was feeling this worry, why I was feeling, you know, because flights to America, they cost quite a bit of money. And I was having to pay back insurances and all these things was going on in my life. And I realized why I was worrying, because that week, that day, I hadn't been seeking him first as much as I could have. I hadn't been abiding in him and his words abiding me as much as I could. And once I just, you know, gave it over to him, he helped, you know, make my mind fresh, and I was able to give it all over to him. And, you know, on Tuesday, I've got flights booked, 4 a.m. at the airport, to go over to the States and then to Dallas and then to Arkansas at this Camp Ozark, to the Christian camp to be a basketball coach. Now he put that into motion. And 90% of these kids at this camp, they come from a Christian home, but that doesn't mean they're saved. There's about 50 international staff that are going. They aren't saved. So I've got my work cut out for me, but I'm still at a point where it's 2 days before my flight is booked, and I'm still at peace with just wanting to do God's will. And I give him all the glory for being able to reveal that in my mind and in my heart. And all it was just a choice I had to make. I just had to choose to fully seek him first, fully abide in him, get the priorities right in my life, and he's going to do the rest. And that's all it is. It's a choice. But the first choice that we have to make is to have that relationship with him. You know, for me, I talked about this. This was back in 5 years ago. I went to that Easter camp. I realized I'd broken God's law. You know, I'd lied, blasphemed, stolen things, looked with lust, hadn't honored my mum and dad, made idols. I realized I was a guilty sinner, and the only way that I was going was hell. And so I repented, and I gave my life to the Lord. And throughout my time of my faith, I've realized by nothing that I can do, could ever reach God's standard. I could never do it by myself. You know, I can't be a branch that makes fruit by myself. I couldn't do it. I just had to fully seek him first and abide in him, and he will give me the strength through his Holy Spirit. So if you're my brother and sister in Christ, if you're a Christian here today, are you seeking him first in everything that you do? Are you prioritizing him in your life? Are you abiding in him? Are his words abiding in you as much as they can be? And if you're not a believer, if you haven't made that same decision that I made 5 years ago to give my life to the Lord, repent of my sins, that decision is available to you anytime. It's just a choice that we have to make. Now, I'm about to go, Lord willing, on Tuesday to the States for 4 months. That's a long time, 4 months. None of us know when our time has come. You could leave this room today, hit by bus. You could, 4 months from now, you know, I'm about to go for 4 months. You might not be here when I get back. I might not come back. Today is a day of salvation. Today's the day. Please do not leave this place without thinking about where you stand with him. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the truth. And Jesus is life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that I can come here and speak your word. I just want to thank you for each and every one of the people here in this room today. I pray you'll bless them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be able to reveal the things that you have spoken through me to them, the things in their life, Father. I pray that we can all just take a look inward, humble ourselves and ask ourselves, are we seeking you first? Are we abiding in you as much as we can be? So I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with each and every one of us here today. Bless the people in this place. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. We honor you. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Cam. Today is the day of salvation. If you feel like you want to make that decision, then please don't leave. Don't leave the doors. Don't leave this building without seeing someone. Cam's available. There are members here from the church that would love to pray with you. Feel free to come up to the service or just tap someone on the shoulder afterwards. And if you would like prayer for anything as well, please come to the front. And of course, we love you. Would love for you to stay at the back for some fellowship over tea and coffee as well. But for now, stand to your feet. We're going to sing our last song.